Thank you for coming out on a rather steamy June evening. And it is great to see many people out here tonight. And it is a great pleasure to introduce our first reader, Renee Alberts, who listens to Rivers Shortwave Radio, whose poetry collection came out in 2009, and whose work has appeared in the New Yinzer, Encyclopedia Destructica, the Pittsburgh City Paper, and a great publication called Subtle Tea. Get that? Subtle Tea. Okay. And she has been responsible for a whole lot of wonderful work and readings that have been taking place at the Carnegie Library, where she happens to work. And she now is the curator for the Pittsburgh Literary Calendar. And let me tell you, my dear, we cannot thank you enough for that. It is a great resource. Yay! Let's welcome Renee Alberts.
Somebody better gut that waitress if she comes in here with my beer. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you all for being here. I am thrilled to be reading with Michael Sims and Michael Worster, and to be reading at Hemingway's. And hold on, let me get some. That was, but I unplugged it. Okay, so I thought, right, there's the two Michaels, and then there's me tonight. So I thought that I would start with this one by way of introduction. It's called Naming the Parts. Had I been born a boy, I would be called Michael. Michael wouldn't write this poem. He would lean in his lab coat over the bloodless animal and sliced clean into rubbery skin, past muscles resistance to the bluish tangle. His mind pure with the mathematics of incision, he wouldn't think glisten or prowl or covet the liver's dark burgundy and want to wear it on his lips. I'm like panting. I'm sorry. this one is called. I have almost entirely new poems tonight. Joan asked me to do this reading a little while ago, and I do a lot of readings, and for a lot of people that I love, who I see really often. So I wanted to try to, you know, bring something new to the table, and it's also the summer solstice today. So I thought, astrologically, it's a good time to bring out the new work, right? Right in the heat of things. So this one is called The Regular. Today, he wants sodomy. Yesterday, Pompeii. Thursday, he skulks laps around the reference desk, eyeing librarians before he demands, "I need the state asylum." He doesn't know the name. I key in terms, scan directories, show him official sites. Nothing satisfies, his face blank with anger, his skin barely holds back. He has the manner of someone who is often sent away. He flicks split nails against his teeth, too close to my screen, to me. Ticks accent his speech, tangents and fragments so rapid fire I have to interrupt him to finally ask, what is it that you want? The history, address, a book? My own questions urged, was he a patient? And where does he live, so sour with cigarettes and urine? What drove him here today, seeking evidence of the disasters we make of each other? He says, if you really tried, you could. I found it the other day, thousands of pictures. There was a release. They closed it down. Experiments on the patients, water, electricity. The pictures, I saw them. The pictures. I just wanted to find them again. Wanted someone else to see them. He is shaking now. His hands ringing themselves in his oversized coat. His second spirit rocking his body. Brown eyes sharp with flashes of voltage, hoses, restraints. I say, I don't want to see them. My heart, the good nurse, snapping the straps mercilessly tight.
Can everybody hear me? Okay. Ah! You can hear me? Okay, good. I won't ask you if you like what you hear, because I know the answer. Okay. No, less ad-libbing. This is untitled. The film I dreamt I watched became the dream. Woman held hostage underwater, chained to the deck of a flooded submarine. Just as she finds the air mask and is straining her restraints to bend her face close enough to breathe, her captor knocks her out. Silver bubbles trail to the surface. I wake gasping. Last night, beers with a girlfriend at this great dive, and now my throat is so dry. I did it again. I talked about you all night. Also, as yet untitled. These poems, like I said, they're really new. They're like they're fledging. Soon, like, they'll be catching things in their talons. Right now, they're just kind of like squawking for someone to come feed them. But I'm happy with that stage. It's a process. I needed a drink break. Tanya bought a wig to strip in, to cover her red dreadlocks. She'd come home after 4 a.m., wheeling her suitcase of iridescent stilettos and sequin thongs that flashed like fish scales and crash on her mattress on the floor beside the picture of Jerry Garcia she taped to her dresser. While we lived together, she smoked organic cigarettes, lost 5 sets of keys, always paid her share of rent on time, in cash. Whenever she lost her keys, she'd come in through the window. One afternoon, these guys she met playing frisbee by the river invited her to a party that night, someplace out on 51. We dressed up, she borrowed her sister's car. House on the tracks, we couldn't figure out who lived there, where the bathroom was. They seemed surprised we came. We drank pink wine out of plastic, hit someone's pipe, danced to a blonde's keyboard, her high, clear song. When the freight train passed, the floor quaked. Something was laced. We found ourselves suddenly kneeling and heaving in the grass. We had to go. We were so dizzy, but I drove. If there is a goddess who protects girls like us, that night her voice was Tanya's rusty laugh as she talked to keep me awake past gas stations' brilliance, distributors' weird neons, dark sockets of boarded-up clubs. Whatever was in the drinks made the lights stream, long tendrils, streetlights' gold curling trails sped alongside us, taillights, red snakes tunneled into our eyes. I gripped my teeth. I white-knuckled the wheel. I drove us the whole way home. I'm taking suggestions for titles.
For this one as well.
Thin as a dollar bill. Thin as the strip in it that sets off the sensors when metal triggers magnet.
thin as a crosshair, light as a dry pen, thin as the wax on your apple skin. Thin as a sequin, oil slick, paper cut, cellophane, splinter, tinsel, snake husk. Thin as a tattoo, thin as the stylus of stinger or song. Thin as the latex between us. Thin as a pinstripe, thin as an echo, thin as a tungsten filament, thin enough to glow. I'll eat holes in sweaters, I'll eat barbs of feathers, I'll eat light, until I gleam like ball bearings on the shoulders and wrist bones. I'll press my lips to the cold mirror, thin as the prayer I whisper to it, thin as the vapor it leaves on the glass, thin as the gap between flesh and reflection, thin enough to fit.
What? Fast? Fats. I don't get it. Is that a team? All right, I do have one old poem from my book. This is an early printing of my book that I've... The other ones look better than this. But recently I've been working on a couple like cycles of poems of things that have just started to sort of really whirl around. And one of them is this horrible boyfriend I had in high school. And so I've been just really revisiting that and mining it for, there has to be something. But this poem is called Pony Bottles. 10th Street Bridge arcs its yellow spine over ale-brown Mon, its shade complicit to our delinquency. Tom, Steve, and me, 15, down pony bottles and toss empties into the river just to watch them spin like helicopters' propellers. Impossibly paused mid-air, green glass aglow with factory neon's warm red wash before splashing, buoyant, to fill slowly and sink to the catfish's silty lair. This is called, Well, It Looks Like You've Kept Your Name Out of the Papers. I've checked arrest record and classified for sign of you, and sometimes in bars, nearly choked on my beer to see you swagger in. Apparition of the same lean 18-year-old who kicked in my parents' front door when I wouldn't come with them, who asked out my sister when we finally ended it. One morning, I'm at the bank, trying to remember the middle three digits of my account, and I glance at the plaque by the strips that displays today's day, month, and year. And I wonder again about the teller who changes the tiles daily, whether she fumbles or slides each neatly into its slot. And suddenly, I'm sure I'll look up and you'll be in line. Your shoulders still narrow in your jacket, your older face still a hawk-like squint. And the years since I've seen you collapse, a sucker punch, all the little plastic numbers clatter to the floor. And for an instant, I'm 18 again too. Your captive passenger gripping the door handle as you swerve another hairpin, joint tucked in my bra in case the cop in the rear view searches us. On my back on your creaky couch, your tongue as deep in my mouth as my own, as astonished by your appetites as the nymph in a myth of a god, my flat lips mute as leaves. But then I realize I can't recall the color of your eyes or your middle name. When it is you there before me, I think I won't say a word. I will pass you, safe as a stranger, as I walk to the glass to take what I need from what I've earned. This one is called Love, 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 Love. Oh, my toll call, I could always tell you were stoned by your breath in the receiver before you spoke to lie. It was me you called every time your stepdad threw you out threatening to conscript you. The night the acid was too strong, I answered to you peeking out and panicked, your voice bursts of sobs and nonsense dissolving to whimper. From my girlhood bedroom, I could only think to soothe something about love, my lullaby, my hushing, only static on the line. Love, 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 you chanted a mantra to tether you. We stayed on until my ear numbed, until you cut out only dead air to my, are you there? You were all hunger, all anger, all sinew and tattoo, your mama's own prodigal, her Persephone. You knew the underworld's burn in your throat, hiss of flames from the spout of the light at your smoke. You knew the lit world's shudder as its shapes retake their form, brake lights, pace car, raccoon, through the labyrinthine back streets to the highway. You open it up, you pin it, you float. You knew, you go under, and when you come home, everything stays cold, and no one asks why your eyes are so red.
I also want to say thanks to Joan and to Jimmy for running this series. This is really fabulous thing you have going on here. I'm really happy to be a part of it, both as a participant and as a listener. This is called Voya.
Once, long after dawn, I knelt and looked into the eyes of a tame dog lit gold in the sodium streetlight. The chain link between us reflected in the shining globe of her eye, so its grid warped and spun, centered in her dark pupil. The twist of helix that leashed her loyal species, no flinch at my palm's touch to her withers. Her nose twitched, scenting under wet asphalt and my salt and soap, the faint electric burn of the net dropped over us both. Wide as either of us knew, as we crouched, faces close, inside the still world, and spoke with our bodies and understood.
Sophie, that's the poem that you posted, like a cat poem, on your Facebook page, and I was like, this is amazing, because I was really stuck on this, the end of this poem for a long time, and then she put this poem up, and it was like exactly what I needed to read to like unstick me. So, thanks for that. I think this is my last poem. So thank you all so much. It's called Indigenous.
Without holding my breath, I cross and uncross bridges in my city of bridges, while my reflection walks night-colored water without rippling the surface as soundlessly as the fabled natives who named this river Monongahela used to move through the forest. This was.